know, I know what you're all thinking. How are they going to open the show? How are they going to address what happened last week and the savage argument that Ghanaian and Kane had? I made some massive declarations. I mean, to compare Joel Kane to Tom Waterhouse was a step too far. But you know what? Someone taught me very early in life, a real man is someone who could admit they're wrong. And I, on this, get him on side, I eat humble pie.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to accept.
You attempt to eat humble pie anyway.
Tell you what, humble pie. Tastes pretty good.
It's not too bad. For those who missed
For those who missed it last week,
this is exactly what happened.
Yeah, I disagree, boys. I've got Canberra to win.
Oh, mate. I'll bet personal money with you.
Yeah, let's have a little side bet there. I think Canberra will win.
$500. No, that's how confident I am.
Okay.
$500. And don't tell me it's going to charity. No, I want your $500.
At the price. I'm not taking $2 with Dan bet.
Well, it's $2.20 now. I mean,
yeah, well, why would I take $2 with Dan bet?
If you have a dollar on the Melbourne Storm and a dollar on Canberra, one of these teams will win.
No, they're not.
Okay.
No, they're not, mate, you better be right with one of these.
I will be right.
Because, mate, that's snake oil stuff, what you're
I'm
doing.
I'm backing
you're
them trying with my to
sell,
own money.
You're trying to sell people on a reserve-grade Canberra race.
And I'm backing them with my own money, Dan.
Right, well, I want to see a ticket.
Righto.
Was there any need to play that? I didn't realise how strident I was, Joel, but you should have got 2 from 2 because Melbourne led the Dragons 12 points to nil. And hello to you, Sean Ormerod, as well. Welcome aboard.
Hello, boys. How are we?
So,
that was stinging. Looking back on that, that was a stinging attack on Tom Waterhouse. I mean, Joel Kane last week.
Well, the relief. This bloke didn't take the $2 I was offering up.
Yeah.
You could have had $1,000 of my money, and frankly, you could have used $1,000 because you know the great thing about
Dan.
You know the great thing about humble pie? It can also serve as a comfort pie.
Ah, Dan.
And
bring it over.
If there's anyone that needs comfort after the horrible beats that this man copped this week. We all have our bad beats in life. They don't get much worse than this. Kyle Flanagan, $41 at the start of the year. We know about it. Anyone who's our podcast listeners are very loyal. You've been with us for a long, long time. It is good pie, isn't
great
it?
Great pie.
That's Woolies. Shane got that from Woolies.
Oh, that's outstanding.
I'll tell you what, the Woolies and the Aldi stuff can be underrated. Very right. underrated. But $41, and he was up by third. I mean, this is Greg Norman 96 Masters
stuff.
Yeah,
it is.
13 up with a game to play. They play each other. I'm there thinking, well, this is as good as you want it this way. You want Flanagan and Reynolds in the same game. And there's no way the Roosters are going to concede 7 tries. No, they conceded 10.
Shawnee, like, honestly, he could have not played Kyle Flanagan and only a Rabbitoh Hurricane would beat them, right? What price would he have been had he not played and Reynolds had to mow down 13 points? Seriously, they were 12-point favourites.
Yeah, well, they're probably not in for... Reynolds isn't in for certainly that many points. So he would have been odds on to collect anyway. But, geez, I was sitting there watching it and my jaw was just dropping each time. Each time one went over the post. I did feel for you, mate. It's not every day I do feel for people, but I did feel for you.
You know, I'm the same. We all cop bad beats. That's life. But that one was... the problem is it was like Norman in the 96 Masters because you're watching it happen in slow motion.
I know.
And you're going, oh, shit, he's only 2 in front. South aren't going to score any. South can't play 80 minutes. It's 36-8 or something. They're going to stop now.
Yeah.
They're going to do what they always do. They go to sleep for 20 minutes in every game they play. It'll end up 36-20 and Flanagan will get there.
Well, you know, you spoke Tom Waterhouse. Well, Bill Waterhouse, his grandfather, he would say in his book that, you know, when you're in front on the pump, that's when you go. That's when you attack because you're in the good mood and everything's going your way. Conversely, when it's not going on your way, tools down. So I should have heeded this advice because I was really confident. Manly had been leaking points for months, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take the Warriors to score 42 or more. Chanel Harris-Tavida
has... What odds did you get for that?
$7.50.
Oh,
Chanel Harris-Tavida had hit 2 on the post, right? Which would have got me there. They score a try with 5 minutes to go. Now, I'm remember Kerry O'Keefe tells the story? He's in a nightclub, right? And he's with this young lady. They're dancing. He goes, oh, I'm $1.04 here. And then seconds later, the lady says, oh, is that Viv Richards? And then he goes, oh, straight away I was out to 100 to 1, right? So straight away, $1.04 became a 100 to 1 shot when Adam Blair steps up to the plate, who never, ever, ever looked like kicking that goal. It just should have been tools, Dan.
Not even a justice refund.
No, definitely not.
Oh, that's cruel.
Very cruel.
That is cruel.
Did you have a feeling ahead of time, Shook, that he was going to step up to the tee? Because I may have had a little side chat going with a talkback caller that you know very well, Tin Man from Marrickville. Yeah. And I said to him, "There's every chance if because I think they were 36 points, one converted try, you collect." And I said, "If they score, there's every chance that Adam Blair steps up to the tee." And lo and behold, there he goes. The only thing that would have made it worse was if it was from right in front. At least it was he was probably 30 at bit of an angle.
Yeah.
It was bad to watch.
Now, so that's a bad beat.
What about your beat?
What was my beat?
Revelawa.
Oh, Revelawa. Unbelievable. So we turn up. As soon as I turn up on the Sunday.
Do you want the pie back?
I'm okay because I got eight minor collect because Sean very generously, all the bets were cancelled and I was blowing up because I had Michaeli Revelawa at $8.50 to be Dragons' top try scorer. Well, he got dropped with 4 weeks. He was actually one of their better players. But anyway, they wanted to give Cody Reams. They wanted to give kids a go. Fine. He was one ahead of Lomax and two ahead of Dufty.
This is cruel.
This is also a slow. And I'm calling the game.
Yeah.
But there's nothing riding on the game, so I actually am letting myself think about this bloody bet, as you know, because I was WhatsApping through the call. So what happened first? I think Dufty scored one first, so then it was 13-12-12, and I'm thinking, can we not have either one of them? And Melbourne were playing well.
Yeah. Four tries to nil, wasn't it? Or four tries to one?
Four tries to one, but no goal kicks.
Pappenhausen.
So it ended up 13-13-13. So I lost. I only got a third minus the stake because basically they're giving me a bonus bet. So and then I realised I'd had double the amount on the bet that I didn't. I thought I had $100 on it, so I'm doing my 100 times table. I had 200 on this bet. Listen. Sportsbet didn't have to pay. Sean didn't have to pay that. So I count that as a win. I said I'll buy lunch when next time he's up here, so that'll be in 2022. So that to me, I count as, and on a weekend of your horrific, because you would have had that money spent.
Oh, I had it spent.
You had four, what were you going to spend $4,000?
I just had it in my, like I do a little monthly budget, and I already had it in the column. Yeah. I already had it there.
You know what?
Yeah. Early crow.
You get the beep ready. You with the rugby league gods, okay, and
the gambling gods,
you can't do it.
Nah.
I feel just a little less sorry for you. All right, so are you okay?
No, I'm not bloody okay.
Are we going to spend the $4,000 on? Are we going to pay a credit card? Are we going to take the missus and the kids away?
We've spent a lot of money recently, so I was going to just sort of claw back that.
I get you.
We may have stayed somewhere last night on the back of me thinking that we had it paid for, but
not the four seasons or the show.
No, Overlow, Woolloomooloo, beautiful place there.
Well, that sounds expensive.
Well, it is bloody expensive, but not when you've got a Kyle Flanagan winning top point scorer ticket. Okay. Then
we all have our bad beats. I think it overtakes. I thought Sean's Penrith Dragons halfway leader a few years ago. All he needed was them to not to lose to Penrith by 24. I thought that's the worst beat I've ever seen.
You have to bring it up. Every year you bring that up. I don't know why you do that. That's not fair.
We now have a new clubhouse leader.
Yeah, I think this takes a cake.
That you've taken the cake.
Oh, there's a listener who's in one of my tipping comps, Herb. He had a bad beat too because we do this tipping comp, which is quite cool. You tip 8 weeks in advance, right? And you've only got to tip one team, but you can't tip that one team ever again, right? Yeah. So whatever your team differential is in that game, that's your score. So if you win by 10, you get plus 10. If you lose by 10, you're minus 10. So he was on the Cowboys, had a big win. So he's in the clubhouse, right? The only thing that can beat him is if the Gold Coast beat the Knights by 30 or more.
Oh.
Herb, give me a virtual cuddle, mate. We're all feeling this together. Mate.
All right, anyway.
What are the chances of that, honestly? It was just one of those weekends, wasn't it? Poor Herb.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's move on because we've got some finals to look forward to. Sean, what would you... Well, let me ask you this. So This is the wonderful thing about rugby league shows and predictions at the start of the year. You never go back to them, but not here. No. We admit our mistakes. But we also look back at the ones we're proud of. What tip are you particularly proudest of? And which one would you like to have over?
Well, it's not overly big odds, I don't think, thinking back, but Parramatta top four we put up at the start of the year. I think it was $3 or thereabouts. That's probably the... it's not much to write home about, but I think that was probably the best. And look, I've had a few bad ones at the start of the year. I think we went through them with the good, bad and the ugly a few weeks ago. They're all yes. They're all there. They're on file, so I don't have to repeat them.
Joel Kane.
I made a comment. At the time, the Panthers were 2 from 2. The Broncos were 2 for 2. Who, incidentally, the Broncos were 2 from 2, and they were 250 to 1 to get the spoon. Who would have picked that?
You know, someone told me they had a bet on the Broncos in mid June. So what were we? We were sort of 3 weeks back.
Yep.
At 50 to 1.
Wow.
Now by then, you'd be an idiot if you backed them at 250 to 1, right?
Yeah.
Because what evidence? But 2 weeks in, I think they'd already been thumped by the Roosters 59-0. They lost to Parramatta 30. Yep. You actually have some evidence. They were still 50-1.
Wow.
So he collected. And you look back at that and you go, geez, how did we not know?
I know.
How did we not know?
So Dan, never in my life have I been so right about a comment and so wrong about a comment. Check this out. Penrith and the Broncos, they have had the most talented kids come through their ranks.
Yep.
And they've been highly spruced, but they have never, ever converted. Mm. And I think they're immature teams. Oh. And I think they're two immature teams who are lacking leaders. And that shows in their defensive columns. Mm. You know, leaders and the Boyd Cordners and the Cameron Smiths and, you know, the Hodgsons down in Canberra and those sorts of types. I don't believe those two teams have them. And every year they're overplayed. And I just can't have either of those two teams.
Okay. So not only were you so wrong about Penrith, but the thing you pointed out, they can't defend. They're conceding 11.8 points a game.
Yeah.
It's the best defence
that's right.
Them in 29 years.
I've said Penrith have got the most blessed attacking players, but they've never signed the Liam Martins and the Yos and all these types of players who are coming through. So I was so right and I was so wrong. The Broncos so right on, the Panthers so wrong, to the point where, you know what? I'm eating this pie again, Dan.
All right.
I'm eating the pie because the Penny Panthers, they're going to the grand final.
All right.
Whoosh.
Go on, Sean. Oh, no, let me...
Penrith are going to the grand final.
Now, my... Wow.
Big stat.
Can you have a best if you don't back it? I declared the Titans were incredible value at $8 to be Queensland's top team.
Oh, outstanding.
Didn't have a cent on it. I don't know why, because I actually liked that bet, because I suspected the Broncos were not as good as we thought. I mean, no one thought they were as bad as this. North Queensland, I fell in. They thumped the Gold Coast in round 3, and I thought, oh, maybe they're a lot better than I thought. But that was one. I was happy with that bet. One, in hindsight, we all have bad picks, but Latrell Mitchell to be South's top try scorer was my worst. And I say that because we should have known that even if he had a great season, which I think he did, I think he had a very good season, he was going to be provider.
Yeah.
He's not going to score at fullback.
That's right.
He's going to be the guy that throws the magic pass. So in hindsight, I thought, that, you know, I'd like to have that one over. But you know what? We've held off long enough. We've got 10, 15 minutes and we haven't even done this, the Bambi. I'm starting off today.
Righto. I love when you start.
Luke Thompson, 4 weeks for gouging.
Yep.
4 weeks. That's odd. Either you gouged the bloke or you didn't.
Mm.
But my Bambi is James Tamo. I am sick of players feigning for penalties and or using it as an excuse to try and get a player off. I think we're at a point where what James Tamo did and what Sean Johnson did by claiming Kevin Proctor bit him to get a penalty is of the equal of a player taking a dive when they cop a little knock so they can try and get an obstruction penalty.
Yeah.
My point is, I think we now have to have a punishment for the player that admits they lied.
Yeah.
A contrary conduct charge.
That's right.
If Sean Johnson knows he risks a week because he was found out to be lying, what, you know, A, does he feign for a penalty, or B, does he lie at the judiciary? I think lying at the judiciary. If you're gouged or you're bitten, you've got to say that.
That's right.
The player code.
Yeah, the player code.
In this day and age, with 100 cameras at these games, unfortunately, is dead. Now the people I work with on Saturday were adamant that Thompson gouged Tamo. Now I, as the non-player, sort of played devil's advocate and said, well, are we sure his hand just wasn't there and it was a bit careless? Well, the judiciary actually said careless.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm just sick of players now feigning penalty and then saying off the bat, oh, no, I was feigning for penalty.
And particularly, Canterbury's not a problem for you coming up, so there's no reason to sort of put the slipper into them. So the player code says, oh, no, you know, don't they?
Yeah, we'll look after them. Yeah. So it can't be one. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Although evidently
you can.
Evidently we can. So that's my Bambi for the day.
Righto. I'm ready, Dan. I am ready.
Whoa.
Here we go. Now listen. This is going to raise its ugly head, and it has cost 9 people that I can count a grand final.
Uh-oh.
Ricketson, John Lomax, Stevie Bowden. The list goes on.
Stevie
Cameron
Bowden?
Smith.
You're going to defend Stevie Bowden?
No, but I'm just saying that suspensions have cost 9 people that I can count of grand finals,
yes.
Right? And I promise you this, Dan, on this show,
Isaac,
you can press
Luke.
Record now. Isaac Luke 2014. Who was Luke Ricketson 2004?
Yeah, I remember that one.
The list goes on, right? This is what's going to happen. I've seen in recent weeks, you know, the crusher tackle, these sorts of things. It's very easy to find yourself in that position.
It's going to get someone.
It's going to get someone in the prelim final, right, which is going to cost them a grand final. I say this every single year. When are we going to get to the stage where there's a discounting policy for being suspended? Okay, because no one's talking about it now. We always love to do things reactionary. No one's talking about it, okay, because Max King's probably not a big enough name to talk about it. However, in 2-3 weeks' time, when a player's rubbed out of the grand final, everyone will be raising about this subject. So let's tackle it on now. What I'm saying is, Dan, the crusher tackle is a bad thing we get out of the game. But more often than not...
Sometimes it's accidental.
It's accidental,
it's
right?
It's bad. It's just unfortunate positioning where the player, the attacker, is turning his body.
Yep.
And he's as much to blame as the defender who gets charged.
That's right. So Luke Thompson is going to miss rounds 1-4 next year. You can't tell me that a player who gets a 4-week suspension tomorrow... the same weighting of games. It is substantial, and it should be treated as such. So therefore, if the general amount is this, for a state of origin, a grand final, a final series, a 50% discount or something, for something that's careless, you know, those sorts of acts, not something that's reckless or intentional, but for something that's careless, we need to bring this into the game. Otherwise, we're going to be presented with, we want our best players playing on grand final day, and Dan, mark my words, this will happen in one of the prelim finals, if not one of the games before.
It will. It will. I mean, their argument is, well, hang on, if you say a grand final is worth double a regular season, but for some teams a regular season game is their grand final because they've got, it's a complicated system. Mm. It is, but I'm with you. Someone is going to get suspended.
Before
so
we
you
go.
Say different rules for round 12 compared to something happens in a prelim final or before an origin? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, that's their argument is, well, hang on, we can't start doing this. Because for someone, week one of a final is worth more.
But it's not the same punishment. Like 4 weeks, it's not 4 weeks when it's finals. It's not the identical punishment. You could argue that 1 week in the finals is worth 4 regular season games. You could. Before we move on, Shawnee, have you got a Bambi, by the way?
No, I've got nothing.
Oh, come on, mate.
Come
on, Sean. We put you on early, and then so you can watch us eat humble pie and comfort pie, and you don't even bring a Bambi.
Can I?
Oh, here's my Bambi. He's a Bambi. Who eats a pie with a knife and fork? You two bloody potsies here. What's going on?
Have you seen
any of your Snickers?
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. Do you eat your Snickers with a knife and fork as well?
It is better. Out of the
you are
it
is much better.
I mean, by doing that, you know now I can't have any of that.
You have the other half.
Nah, piss off. You put your fingers in it. And you knew what you were doing. Mate, that's the equivalent of backwashing when you're sharing a Coke with someone. You've dead set backwashed in that.
That's all right.
Tom wouldn't do that. Tom Waterhouse, he would eat with a knife and fork.
Dan Bitt. We know what Dan Bitt would do. Far out. Hey, Shawnee, boys. Dan.
Yes.
Have I won you over a little bit about the wild card?
This is the year. This is your year. You've got to hit the go button for two reasons. One, Cronulla's awful.
Yep.
Okay. The eighth team has never been so bad.
Yep.
and the 9th and 10th team have never been so attractive. Titans,
yeah,
they're flying.
Yeah.
They're better than Cronulla right now. And the Warriors are the feel-good story of the year. So and as we talked about last week, Joel, the NRL, the club's resting players en masse.
That's right.
I think it's all coming together for you.
Yeah.
And it'll be fascinating the way they see it next year, because you're never going to get a bet. If they don't do it next year, you're not going to get it done.
Let me say one more thing too, that draw inequality. So as long as we're not playing every team once or every team twice, there is draw inequality. For example, the Sharks have not played as many top eight teams as the Gold Coast Titans, right?
I get that.
And the Gold Coast missed out by 2 points or thereabouts. So it's a no-brainer. It's a dead set no-brainer.
But, it's the same. It could have been the other way around. The Sharks could have played four more teams in the top eight than the Gold Coast. Why are you giving Gold Coast a second? Yeah. You're never going to get... We're never going to play each other once, and we're never going to play each other twice. So we're always going to have draw inequality.
Yep. So but the top six teams, they go straight into the finals. We've had this chat before.
Yep.
And all those who are saying, oh, you're rewarding mediocrity. No, we're not. We're actually punishing mediocrity. Seventh and eighth have got to go an extra game to make it, and that's it.
But I'm not certain we're going to see the restings en masse anymore in the last round. I think part of Canberra and Melbourne's rationale was, A, resting the players, obviously the key players, but also rewarding all those players in the bubble that didn't get any game time. Like, I'm not sure we're going to get a weekend like that again, where 16 out of the 21
I get that.
Are not regular first graders.
It was a good touch. I know people were opposed to it, but it was a good touch, wasn't it?
And they stood up. I mean, Canberra are amazing.
Yeah.
Canberra should have won by more.
Yep.
And Melbourne, if they could kick straight, would have beaten the Dragons. Or at least certainly would have challenged them.
Jaden Sullivan. Is he the starting six for St George next year?
Brownie on Triple M said he's the next halfback. He's the next 5'8 for the next 10 years. Mm. Oh, that's
of course he is.
A huge comment. He looked good. What do you do with Corey Norman?
Oh, Corey Norman.
Get rid of it.
Yeah. He's contracted. I mean, it's all good to say piss him off, but
is he still contracted next year?
Corey Norman.
Is he?
I think so.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Broncos saga finally comes to a close. Kevin Walters is named the Brisbane coach. Two-year deal on about half the money Anthony Seibold was on.
Mm.
I think it's a fabulous move because it's only 2 years. I'm of the belief Kevin Walters deserves a chance at some point. He's done some good things with that Queensland team. Let's see what he's got. I know some disagree and go, there's a reason why he hasn't got a gig for 20 years. No, I think I like this.
Right time, right man for the right job.
Yes.
This is tailor-made for Kevy, isn't it? And not necessarily to take him back to premiership glory, but to take them back to a winning way. Absolute tailor-made. I think he's the right man for the right time right now.
This is, I would say, this could be the greatest job opening in the history of coaching. And let me explain. It's a blue-chip club. It's the most well-resourced club in the game. And they're coming off such a poor base that Kevin is taking a job where the pressure is going to be unbelievably low. It'll be high, but it'll be unbelievably low for that job. Mm. So what I'm saying is it's only going to get better for Kev.
Absolutely.
So you're going to get all the old boys are going to support him. So you're not going to have the media pile on. You know my thoughts on Seibold. I thought he was bullied at times.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And the talent is there.
Mm.
The talent is there. If you can work out the halves, my God, they're at least a fringe top eight team at worst, aren't they?
Oh, well, market value, Cole Miner. Market value for the players who played in that wooden spoon team. Market value on the players would blow out of the water any other team who's won the spoon, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably. And look, I've got my concerns about Kevy as a head coach in the NRL. Origin's a little bit different. I have got my concerns about him long term. Not sure what he's like tactically wise. But if he surrounds himself with good people, and I'm sure the coaching budget will be blank
unlimited
for him, so he can have who he wants behind him. And you're right, Dan. They've got so much more upside. Obviously, you can't get any lower than where they finish now, but they can turn it around very quickly. So he might have a very good first year long term. We wait to be seen, but it can turn it around very quickly.
Did I read or hear that Neil Henry is going to come on board as an assistant coach? Now, I'm told Neil Henry is one of the great tacticians. Right. That it was communication with players that was his downfall with being a head coach. But that's the sort of bloke Sean's talking about. If you can surround yourself with those tacticians and you got Kevy bringing it all together. I mean, look at Mal in Origin. No one is claiming Mal was a great tactician, but he just had the right... He had... Who did he have? He had Neil Henry. He had Seibold, didn't he? Was Seibold part of Queensland?
Yeah, he was.
Griffin?
Yes.
He just had the right people around him.
Yep.
So...
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Yep, no problem at all with that.
Where do we think Bellamy and Smith are heading? I think Smith is retiring at the end of the year. I'm now almost convinced. Bellamy... It's a weird one, Bellamy. I think his Melbourne Storm career ends next year. I don't know what the hell he's going to do after that.
Well, I think we could probably all agree that Bellamy is at the Storm next year, and yes. Cameron Smith has come out and said he'll only play under Bellamy. So, and I get the sense that the Smith family are moving to Queensland. So
yes. It
all points to him winning the Clive Churchill on the big day. Dropping the mic. I'm out of here, folks. Thanks for a great career.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And he has played, Sean, with a smile on his face the last few weeks. You can read into these things too much. And I think he enjoys the subterfuge with the media.
Mm.
But subterfuge makes the podcast. I just get the sense that he's just sucking every morsel out of these last few weeks. So he just seems happier than he's ever been.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, they were trialling Aaron Booth the other day, Cary Grant's coming back.
Cary Grant.
Cary Grant's coming back.
What a story.
Oh, there you go. Keep that quiet. Breaking news here. Cary Grant is coming to the Melbourne Storm. It just all adds up, doesn't it, Dan? And the
It'd
way
be an that... elegant hooker, wouldn't he, Harry Grant?
Cary Grant. Oh, yeah.
He'd play in a dinner suit. he'd be the best ever looking playing in a dinner suit player.
Absolutely. So, Dan, where I'm going to here is they've plotted this beautifully because he's come out. Cameron Smith has said, I'll only play under Bellamy, right?
Yeah.
Bellamy's come out and said, I've ceased all conversations now until the end of the season.
Yeah.
So therefore, under those terms, we can't go anywhere with Cameron, can we? Re-chat. So they've strategically parked this all until the end of the season when they win the competition. And, you know, they might let Bellamy go early if they win the competition. Maybe he is in Queensland next year.
Mm. Gee, it's hard to bring him.
He's retiring, isn't he, Cameron Smith?
I think so.
Particularly if they win it.
I think so. But I think Bellamy does seem like a man of his word.
Oh, of course he is.
Like, he's never been anything but. So if he says he's at the Storm next year, I think he sees that out. Whether he does the 10-year thing at the Broncos, I don't know. All right, where do we go from here? The Dally M backflip. I mean, I'm not as invested in the Dally M as everyone else. I don't particularly care if Nathan Cleary gets the 6 points return. This rules on the run stuff, it's embarrassing, isn't it?
Well, I don't know how this come to light. Why weren't we aware of this ages ago? So is it a Penrith person who's jumped on the fact that Payne Haas didn't get docked points and he won the front row of the year? Or where has this come from? Yeah.
Yeah. Someone's realised that Payne Haas got, you know, was the...
Suspended off the field because he wouldn't pass that information on or whatever the case may be.
Integrity unit. Yep.
And he didn't lose the points. So the precedent you can't argue with for Nathan Cleary, who probably now wins it.
Okay. You're all right with that, Sean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's an on-field award. It's for the best and fairest player of the comp. So the fact that he danced in front of a camera has got nothing to do with it for me.
Yeah. We can't bet on Dally M. So, really, let's move on. We're actually going to start tipping winners for the finals after this.
Oh, poetry in motion. The best place to catch an NRL same-game multi is Sportsbet. It's never been easier to find more markets, more offers and bigger odds. If it's a same-game multi, it's Sportsbet.
All right, let's start picking winners. Now, you know something we don't do in this sport? That I like American sports, as you know, but the brackets, right, where you try and pick, and this is big in the NCAA college basketball tournament, where you've got 64 teams in a knockout-style tournament. Now, we don't have a knockout-style tournament, but it is you can have a bracket at the start. So at the end of the show, there's our bracket, and we're all going to pick our brackets and try and work out not just who's going to win this week, but each team's path to the grand final. Can anyone pick 9 out of 9? There's 9 games in the finals. Should offer that as a market.
Well, you know, well, it's a bit hard development wise to get everyone to be able to do their own brackets. But what I might do, Shawnee, I might hit up, we might get Pengy and Benny Rawlings and B Man on the case to maybe we can publish our own brackets.
Yes.
And if people wish to, and it'll be a crazy price to pick nine in a row.
Yes.
And if people wish to jump on board our brackets, Dan, they can do so.
And we'll do these. We'll do these at the end of this show. So stay tuned. We'll do our brackets.
Mm.
I think I floated this last year, and we were so bad in the first week. Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It has been. I've got some interesting stats here. It has been 8 years since all the higher ranked teams have won on the opening weekend of finals. So we went back to this 1v4, 2v3, 5v8, 6v7 system in 2012.
Yep.
2012 is the only year where teams 1, 2, 5, and 6 have all won.
As per the seedings.
As per the seedings. There is always an upset. It was very similar under the McIntyre system, the stupid system. Very rarely do you get the four favourites, as in this case, because they are all the home teams are the favourites.
Yep.
So keep that in mind. 12 of the last 14 premiers have had the best or second best defence. This year, that's Penrith and the Storm. And 12 of the last 13 premiers have won their week one final. So usually the premier these days wins that 1v4, 2v3. Comes from those two games.
12 of the last 14.
Yeah. Best or second defence?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I found that too. That's Melbourne Storm and Penrith.
Melbourne Storm and Penrith. So the attack is not necessarily as important. We've had teams with the fifth best attack go on and win the comp. Not even best for and against is necessarily the bellwether. The bellwether is defence. And 12 of the last 13 have won their week one final. So apart from the 2015 Cowboys who lost their week one final, the only path to a premiership in our game, and there'll be the outlier, but the only path, you've got to finish in the top four, and you must win that first game.
That's right. And when you factor in those stats, Dan, the 12 of the 14 were one or two. Cronulla held on by the skin of their teeth. They were one of the teams who weren't one or two against the Melbourne Storm. So it is skewed so heavily to those top two defensive teams.
But yes, exactly. Oh, yes, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
But Cronulla, they scored the big upset in round one of the finals. I think round one, I've always said this, is as important, in fact, more important than the first 26 weeks or 20 weeks.
Of course.
Because it actually, all you're doing for those 26 weeks or 20 weeks is putting yourself in the position for round one. If you don't take advantage, we've seen the Roosters a couple of times butcher this, where they finish first and then they lose that first game and that's the end of them. So just keep those things in mind. Let's bring up some markets, eh? And the premiership market looks like this. Melbourne favourites, $3.40. Penrith at $3.60. So they've come in a bit. And that's on the back of the Roosters being smashed. Well, they've gone from first favourite to third favourite at $3.75. But look at that. Canberra's the fourth favourite. They're actually shorter than Parramatta at $15. Parramatta's $26. That's insulting. South at 19. Newcastle 151. Cronulla 251. That feels about right, doesn't it, gents? With the sort of top three now, the order of play. Melbourne should be the favourites because they've got exposed finals winners.
Yeah, I've been tipping the Melbourne Storm all year because the reason I gave you boys was that they pushed the Roosters so close last year and they're a better team this year with Pappenhausen flying, Jerome Hughes who's flying, Nelson Asofa Solomona and Tino have gone to a new level.
Tino.
So they're a better side. And the question I said to you, men, are the Roosters a better side? Well, they're not because there's no Cooper Cronk.
No.
There's no Latrell Mitchell. Radley's not playing. So they're not as good a side. So I've been on the Melbourne Storm camp. Dan, this is pushing your friendship because you said as long as the Roosters are still in. Oh, you're off.
I am declaring what I saw last week. It's amazing. So you know where I live at Coogee. So I had a lot of Eastern Suburbs fans coming out to you. Oh, mate, we threw that, mate. We ran dead. I don't think they did.
You're out.
I am out.
You're off the bus.
They can't win the comp. You can't have that performance that close to the finals and recover. I think they are cooked. I think every team, most teams that we have seen hit a wall, the defending premiers. Remember when it happened?
In 1 week, though, 2 weeks ago, they were like a $2.88 pop to win the comp.
Well, I never thought $2.88 was fair. Mm. I always thought that was
skinny.
It's very skinny. Mm. But it just, it's like a boxer. They just get old all of a sudden. In one round, they age. I remember vividly South. They just hit a wall in 2015. Remember they started the year, there were markets, could they go through undefeated?
Mm.
And then about 4 weeks from the end, Brisbane beat them 47-12 or something, and then Manly did a job on them 46-8, and then they snuck into 8th or 7th, and Cronulla just brushed by them. It happens so often that once the wall comes, it's over.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it wouldn't shock me if they beat Penrith this week.
If they beat Penrith, wouldn't are Penrith shock. Gone? Surely that if yes. Penrith are going to win this comp, they've got to win this week, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but to me, you said... That was the loss where I go, okay, there's a problem. Mm. I can't be on them anymore.
Okay, what about you, Cole Miner?
No, I'd be very wary of throwing them out after 1 week. Granted, it was a hell of a defeat. Obviously, the big mix up in those outright prices is, you know, the shake up on in who's playing who in week one. Storm obviously get the bit of what looks like
soft draw.
The gift run now. They're what going off $1.25 or thereabouts in week one. So that's the big shift there. But it looks like it's all coming up Storm. It's all falling their way.
Well, I'm gonna make a case for Canberra in a second as to why they might be value, but before you get to your point, Gus made a very interesting point. Now, Gus is a very astute punter. We had him on our podcast, and you know, we know that he's very smart at these things. And someone said a South good value at $21, they've come into 19 now. And Gus said, "You're better off backing them week by week because it'll end up you'll probably get about $35, $36."
Right.
There are some teams, Sean, aren't there, where if you actually think about it and map out the draw. They might be favourites this week against Newcastle, heavy favourites, but then you work out, well, they're 6-7, they're probably going to play Parramatta. Then after that, they're probably going to play, who's on the other side of the draw, Penrith or Roosters, and then a grand final. And you start multiplying them, and you realise you're going to get better value by doing them week by week. Not every team like that, Sean, is it? But but in that case, it works.
It certainly works for the bottom four teams.
Yeah.
I think I remember when the Western Bulldogs won the grand final in the AFL. I think they come from 8th or 7th, whatever it was. And they're at the start of the finals, their outright price might have been 100-1. But you worked out, you know, when it was all said and done. If you had it at the all up week to week, I think it was double. There was something like 200-1 or something. So it works for the bottom half of the bracket. Not so much the top four. You can find a bit of value in the outright for the top four. I've found.
Yep. But just remember, if you do it that way for top four, you can't lose that first week.
No, that's right.
You've got to win everything.
That's right. So that's right. That's exactly right. Where you have to from the bottom four. There's no other way to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every year I'll take unders, I believe, in the Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
Because I just like to have it locked and loaded.
Yeah.
The problem is with what you're saying, it's great in theory, but for the people to actually physically go back to the well and put that all those winnings on the next week.
I understand.
And then
go, but it does give you the choice.
It does. It does. But I like to be locked and loaded personally.
Yeah, I'm the same. But when you start, if it was, say, if you'd worked it out that it was $19 versus $23, I'd just put my money on the start. But when you start working it out, but then you are taking the risk. What if the teams... See, I think South will be favourites against Parramatta in week two.
Mm.
I think they'll be favourites against them. Does that sound right, Sean? So then okay.
Yeah, won't be much in it, yeah.
What if South have two blistering wins and then they play the team in week three that won their first final, but they've got two blokes injured and they've got two blokes suspended? All of a sudden, the odds don't quite stack. So that's the risk you're taking as well.
I reckon Parra might be favourites against Newcastle in that one.
Ah, see where you're going. All right, let's get to some games. Eh? We've kept you on long enough. We start with Friday night. Penrith versus the Roosters. By the way, do we like this as the opening game of the finals?
Yeah, I think so. What do you reckon, Shawnee?
Love it. Mm. This is mouthwatering.
Yeah, me too. It'd be fascinating to have a conversation with Channel 9. I guess they're the ones that pick. It would have been that or Melbourne Parramatta. Penrith, so we've got stats on the screen there for those watching us on KO. $1.74, $2.10. But the number in brackets, Sean, is a weight of money. So 76% of the money, not the bets, but all the money is on the Panthers. That is a huge amount considering they're playing the defending premiers.
Yeah, and considering how tight the betting is.
76%, 24%, yeah.
Yeah, they're not overly short at the 174, but we had a bit of a debate when we were putting up these week one prices. You know, I personally think Penrith are the slightest of favourites in this game. I don't have much between them, but we knew that given the two results on the weekend, Roosters getting thumped, Panthers flogging, albeit the Bulldogs, that the rank and file will want to be on Penrith in this one. So I think we went up $1.80, and I think they've continued to firm, and you can see the weight of money sort of backs up that theory.
Here's what scares me, Joel. So I'm taking Penrith, but here's what scares me. What do Penrith do? They normally blow out a lead. They're 12-0 up after 20 minutes.
Yeah, that, I know where you're going with this. I agree.
I can't see the Roosters being bad at the start. There's no way, and you heard my thoughts on the Roosters, I think they might be cooked. And it will be a good atmosphere at Penrith. That will be a factor. And Penrith are at home, home comforts. They've got a point to prove. I just can't see that Roosters side yielding points early. So I think it's going to be tight, and I fear that Penrith aren't going to be as used to that as they should be.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from here, and I disagree as far as I don't think the Roosters have hit the wall, but I just don't think they're as good a side as last year, and they were overspruced all year. I think Penrith, and I ate Humble Pie before, I think they're a better team.
Yep.
They are at home, they have all the favours, it goes their way. But as you're alluding to, Dan, is that if they're behind, you know, by 6 or 8 points, they haven't really been in this situation. They've been a Gay Waterhouse runner. They've been out at the front and they just dictate terms and they lead the whole way.
They haven't trailed at halftime since round 8.
That's what I mean. So
3 months.
If you want to back the Panthers, maybe the bet is half full double. They are fantastic front runners.
Yep.
I'm tipping the Panthers, but I'm respecting the Roosters, and I think the Roosters bounce back in a major way. But I'm, you know, Appy Coruscant, and, you know, Brent Naden hasn't lost a game in 13 months.
Yeah. Well, Brent Naden wasn't good enough to be in the side. That's how good they're going, is that this bloke who scored 12 tries in 16 games, it was a month, he couldn't crack the team.
Liam Martin couldn't make the team.
Liam Martin couldn't. I think Fisher Harris is going to be the player of the finals. There you go.
There you go.
And now, we'll get to Melbourne Storm in a second because I'm going to make another bold declaration. But okay, so Penrith for you.
Yep.
Now, can we also do, and whether Jarve wants to count these in the score or not, let's look at over-unders as well. I think this is an absolute special to be an unders game.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
Because I think the Roosters will give it what they've got. And we know they can defend. Penrith are conceding less than 12. It's a very small number, 37.5. I just think in a final, the first final, I just can't see whoever loses being completely blown out in the last 20. So give me Penrith -2 and the under.
Hey, Coal Miner, further to Dan's point about for 8 years we've seen in a row where one of the lower seeds has upset the higher seed. And to prove this, as it's unlikely once again to have all the hot pots win, the multi for the top seeds.
Yes.
Is $3.22.
Yuck.
So therefore, Coal Miner, you're far more chance of it getting beaten than it winning, aren't you? There should be an upset somewhere.
Yeah. Well, any sort of four leg multi is gonna. You're always favourite to get one beat. But it's not every day that the first four finals matches we see some short prices like we are in this week. So it is a bit of a funny start to the finals this year. But as I said before, I've only got Penrith a very, very slight favourites here. I think experience counts for a truckload here. Few guys in really key positions in that Penrith team that might not have played in the big lights, and we all know that the Roosters have done it before. I think it's going to be low scoring. As you said, it's such a big game. You know, to be able to sit in the Spa for a week and then get a home prelim, it's huge. So I like Roosters the +2 that it is now, and unders as well.
All right, the mild safety of the extra 2 points there.
Just to further his point about experience counts in finals, well, 8 of the last 10 Clive Churchill medalists had played in a grand final before.
Yeah, this is a good stat from last week.
Yeah.
But I present this to you. So for the Roosters, Manu is back, Brett Morris, Isaac Liu, Lindsay Collins, but their hooker, 4 games, Freddie Lussick.
Yep. Hey, how many did Sam Verrills play last year?
Sam Verrills is not... Yeah, but Freddie is their third choice hooker.
Mm.
It's a big out.
It is
Jake
a big
Friend
out. Of course
not
it
being
is.
There. So, without great confidence, I've gone Penrith. You've gone Penrith as well. Under or over?
Under.
Okay. All right, so we're thinking this is going to go a similar style of game. By the way, Penrith's first home final in 10 years. There we go. And the Roosters have conceded just 42 points in their last six finals. Last five finals they've played, single digits, all of them.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the Saturday afternoon game. 5:40, Canberra versus Cronulla. This would be one of the great finals upsets. But look at the weight of money. So Canberra $1.18, Sharks $5, right? And the line is 13.5. But the weight of money, I can't believe, Sean, that the Sharks are getting as much as 36% of the money their way. Obviously, people looking for value, but my goodness, that's more than a third of the money are going to the despised outsiders.
It is, and even more so. We don't have it on screen, but it's like 83 or 85%, something like that. Of the money is on the Raiders at the minus. So I think punters, rather than take that short $1.18, $1.20, they're more than happy to pile into the minus 13.5, thinking they're going to do this one pretty easy.
Okay. Mm. It does, Joel, feel like the sort of game that once, if Canberra can break Cronulla, they can really put a score on in the last 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, and the earlier game too, should be good conditions there. I think they gallop away with this.
Yeah.
And you can go for alternative score lines for the team. So the Sharks to score only 4 points, because their goal kicking's been average, no Sean Johnson playing, to only score four or to score zero, I think that's worth a throw at the stumps. Raiders have cheekily got this record, won 9 of the last 11 games. So they're humming along there. Mm. 24 points a game they're conceding this year, the Sharkies. This is fodder of the cannon variety.
More than 100 points worse than the second worst defensive team in the finals.
Yeah.
It's awful.
And Ricky Stewart has oozed confidence. And he said, look, you know what? No one has one outside the top four in the current NRL format. However, no one's been good enough. And that's quite true, isn't it?
Yep, 100%. And their draw, Sean, I'm going to present the case for Canberra. And I'm taking them to win this game comfortably. And I think it might be an overs game just because it's 42
and a
half.
I agree with both of those.
I think Cronulla will give a good 25 minutes. I'm not trying to be insulting, but I think they can really stick with them early. Tracy and Townsend have never played together.
Really?
As a halves combo.
Tracy's a very good player, but Sean Johnson is a tri-assist merchant.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You leave that on the table.
So, but my case for Canberra is they should win this. And they will play 1v4 loser. I'm tipping Roosters, but I'm happy to be wrong there. They won't be intimidated by the Roosters.
They don't scare anyone.
Right.
No, they're not fearful of anyone.
And then likely a prelim final in Brisbane against Melbourne. Now they are absolutely not intimidated by the Melbourne Storm. So it would be a hard road.
Mm.
You're having to knock off the two sides of the decade, of the last decade, but it's there. You can make that case. You don't look at that and go, oh, geez, well, they need that to happen for the draw to fit right for them. I can see the case for Canberra. But anyway, Canberra for me, Canberra for you. What about you, Sean?
Yes, I'm leaning the way of the Raiders as well. It's hard to make this game any bigger of a number than what it is at 13.5. But I bang on about it a fair bit when approaching sort of the way I look at games. And there's plenty more upside in backing the Raiders. We've seen in knockout games, like, and even Origins, it's when a game gets away from teams, the cue can go in the rack for the other team. So I don't expect it to be a blowout from the outset, but if it's around that number late, I think they could really get on with it. So Raiders and overs for me.
All right, we're on the same page there. Well, Cronulla, I think, averaged 31 points conceding against top eight teams. We know they haven't beaten a top eight team. It would be. Well, this is the thing I don't get. How can that be the same odds as our next game? $1.18, $5, Melbourne, Parramatta. Now, yes, Melbourne are an almighty team, and in Queensland, they're just about unbeatable. But to think that Parramatta are a bit as big as outsiders as Melbourne to me is a little strange. And you can see the weight of money again, almost 50% with the Eels. $1.18, Melbourne, $5, Parramatta. I seem to have this memory about 3 years ago. Parramatta went down to Melbourne and should have beaten them in a 1v4.
Semi Rad Radra was playing that day.
Mitch Moses had a blinder.
Yep.
I can see Melbourne really challenging the Melbourne Storm here. Now, Melbourne, Is there anyone of note missing? No, I think... Oh, well, Tui Kamikamita, because he was suspended, but when you got Tino playing off the bench, it's a pretty awesome side. But I will give any Parramatta side that has Nathan Brown at least a chance.
Yep.
I think while he's there, they've got a chance. Dylan Brown is back. Yeah, it's a risk, but I think we all agree risking Dylan Brown at 50-50 is better than the current options.
Yep.
13.5, a lot of start, Joel.
Yeah, I'll take the Eels with a start. I'm tipping the Melbourne Storm, but it's a trappy game. Gutherson's going to go very close to winning the Dally M Award. Look, Sivo and Ferguson, proven big wingers. Wunga Blake, no problem there in the centres. Jennings, it's a trappy game. Parramatta for me at the line, Melbourne Storm to win, Cole Miner.
Yeah, similar to the early game, the head-to-head split is pretty close to even, but like the Raiders, punters really getting around the Storm at that big line. So they're expecting them to really put a score on the board. I'm not so sure. And what about this? I never thought I'd see the day where Brenko Lee was rested from a Melbourne Storm outfit on the eve of the finals. Honestly, you can put a fork in me. I'm done there.
Maybe you just hate centres. I mean, the stuff on Kerrod Holland was, borderline.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was bullying.
It was. Well, no borderline about it.
Yeah. And now Brenko Lee. But I must admit, it's the one area the Storm haven't worked out.
That's right.
Is that centre position.
But you know what's happened? He wasn't rested, Cole Miner. Paul Momorowski got injured in that game.
Yeah.
Paul Momorowski was set to play centre in this game. I've got no doubt about that. So how are you playing it?
Okay. Yeah, look, I like Parramatta. They get Dylan Brown back, who's huge. If you cast your mind back to when they played Penrith probably 3 weeks ago, that game was really tight for 60 minutes. I think it might have been 6-2 for an hour before Penrith just ran away with it. So I think they've got a tight game in them, and I'm expecting this to be relatively tight. So more than happy to be on the big plus. Yeah, and I wouldn't be head-to-head as well. $5 is huge in week one of a finals. Also, if you do like Parra this week, but not so sure about them long term, we've got the stage of elimination market up under extra markets there on the app. So if you fancy Parramatta to get through this week, but maybe fall over next week, then you can have a look a little bit down the line.
Okay, so Eels for you, over under. You just broke up for a second there.
Sorry, under. For
yeah,
me.
No, me too. What about you?
Yeah, I'm under. I'm under.
It never works out when it's a consensus, and that's two in a row now. Canberra in the over, into Melbourne in the under. Okay.
Won't be three in a row, I can tell you that much.
No, but I, you know what? I think it might be.
Really?
South Newcastle is our Sunday afternoon fascinating clash because you don't know what the hell you're going to get from these teams. South, obviously, in red-hot form. The red-hot favourites, $1.33. Look at the money for Newcastle, just 13%. I can't believe that, Sean. $3.40. I know South were magnificent last week. I don't think they're consistent enough to warrant 87% of any market.
No way, Jose. How are you seeing it, Cole Miner?
I think they're more than welcome to be receiving that sort of money. I think they do this pretty comfortably. What about the form line going into this game, though? They got beat by the Bulldogs 2 weeks ago, then flogged the Roosters. So if you can work it out, you're a far better judge than me. But Knights have been so disappointing. No more disappointing than last week when they had a home final on a plate, really. All they had to do was get over the Titans, who had nothing to play for and couldn't get the job done and were humiliated, really. On the other hand, we saw what South did. So... like the Raiders game, it's hard to get the number too much bigger than this, but I think there's more upside in back and South to run away with it.
Mm.
Okay. To me, the matchup for South, their forwards, as we look at some of those stats on the screen there, Newcastle's first final since 2013.
I like the bottom one, Dan.
Knights unbeaten when leading at half-time. There you go, 11-0. But they don't come back. They've got to start well, because if they start well, they tend to win. If they start badly... they have no comeback in them. But to me, South, we agree South's forwards have overachieved, certainly from our expectation. If Clemmer and Daniel Saifidi and Jacob Saifidi have barnstorming games, I'm not sure South, they might go with them, but that's it. If these Newcastle forwards can deliver the game they're capable of, I can see them at least challenging South. I like the start.
Yeah,
I like 8 points. I just don't trust... I'm sorry, I don't trust South. I think South will win, but I just don't trust them to blow Newcastle away.
Yep. I have said on this podcast all year, they're not a team I want to play in the finals, the Newcastle Knights. They've got some big, big names who have played in some big, big games. I will say this. Newcastle have the most boring game plan in the whole competition. They are high up in completions. They are high up as far as limited errors goes. But did you know this, boys? Six of the top eight sides are in the bottom eight for conceded errors. They've made the most errors, in other words.
Particularly the Roosters.
Yes. But that correlates also to points because they score tries.
They're playing footy. They're
they
playing.
Score tries. Yeah. The other thing that makes the Newcastle Knights game plan boring is bat you know what. They complete, they get to the other end, they rely on the kick. One third of their tries are scored off a kick.
Yeah.
You know, there's far more footy in South Sydney. But if I go back to round 10 when they met, right, Newcastle had them 20-0.
Yes.
They were charging through the middle and they played a bit of football. The three of the four tries they scored that day, unconventional, where you're pushing the pass, putting an early kick through, those sorts of things. That's what they need to do. Newcastle Knights and Adam O'Brien, you are not going to win this competition by boring teams to death. Open the shoulders. Davey Warner wants to get outside the crease, so start hitting some balls. They've got to do that, Dan.
Yeah, I agree. I thought you'd be on South once you saw that the Bermuda Triangle of second row is Lachlan Fitzgibbon, because that's where attacking raids go to die, according to you.
They do. So get it past the bloody back rower. Back rowers, do your job. Stay out of the way when they're 10 metres out. You just Fitzgibbon, let Bradman Best do his work, as per his surname. Let him get the ball, because Stixley's waiting for it to score in the corner. Just stay out of the way when the ball's 10 metres out.
Okay. All right. So which way are you going?
Oh, what do you reckon?
Well, confirm it. Just so
Newcastle.
I know, but I just want to, you know, you got
to
lock it
to
in.
To win the match outright.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow, okay. Well, I'll learn my lesson. I'm not going to... Actually, Sean, I wouldn't be shocked if Newcastle won, frankly. I'm taking them at the line. Before we get to you, under or over, Joel, 44.5. This is the biggest over-under line of the weekend.
Under.
Yeah, me too. Jeez. Are we going the consensus, Sean Ormerod?
Under 44.5 for me. But South.
Ooh. Okay. So South to cover and under. That's interesting.
Mm. So you're looking at like a 26-10, 28-14 type game. Okay.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
All right. So you've answered that. That's your most likely upset of the weekend is Newcastle.
Yep.
Yes.
But I do agree with you, blokes.
I'm not counting Penrith Roosters as an upset if the Roosters win. That market's so tight. I'm talking about the other three.
I agree with you, blokes. I think the Eels are a far better chance 100% than beating the Storm than the Sharks are of beating Canberra.
100%. Have I got any other interesting stats here? Just going through. Luai and Cleary is a combination 18-1 in their career.
Is that right?
And Luai is a 5'8". I've got to check this. 22-2. That includes his brief stint with Maloney.
Is that right?
22-2.
Wow.
Here we go. Munster and Hughes for Melbourne this year. 12-1.
Ooh.
12-1. Brown and Moses, 10-3 for Parramatta. Okay. Then it starts to get a little more normal. Williams and White and 13-6. Walker and Reynolds, 12-6. Kiri Flanagan, 10-6. Lenor and Pierce, 2-3. 6-10.
Kiri and Flanagan, 10-6.
10-6.
Ooh.
So, yeah, a bit little. And Penrith spine, when Edwards, Luai, Cleary and Coruscant are together, 10-0.
Oh.
But Melbourne, when Pappenhausen, Munster, Hughes and Smith are together this year, 9-1. So there you go. It's shaping up for those two. For South, this is the one that struck out. Allen, Walker, Reynolds, Cook, only 3-4.
Oh, is that right?
Only 3-4. So
he looked good, Allen, the other night.
He does.
He was
he?
A real spruce kid.
Well, Bennett's huge on him.
Yeah.
Bennett is huge on him.
He's going to be a good player, I think.
All right, we're going to do grand final Quinellas in our brackets shortly, but first we must do the best bet. All right, the trader starts here. Sean Ormerod, I'm going to go to you first here. What is the best bet for you this weekend?
Yeah, probably no surprises, but I really love Parramatta. With the start, that looks huge in week one of a final series. I know they haven't been going too good of late, but I think they've got a real lockdown game in them.
Yep.
Expect this one to be very, very tight.
Like, okay.
Sure, it fully expects Storm to win, but that starts too big. But I'll also be having something on the Eels head-to-head. Wouldn't surprise me at all there.
Okay, Joel Kane, I think you intimated only a couple of minutes ago what your best bet of the week is.
Well, I do like the Knights. I like them at the line. I like them head-to-head. However, Campbell Graham, he has scored in his last seven games consecutively, three times getting a double. So I just see this young man scoring a try somehow. He scored in the final series last year, so he's my man.
Okay, for me, I should have gone Canberra minus 13.5 because I think that's the best bet. But for a bit of value, because I'm so convinced that Penrith Roosters will be under, I've taken that in with Penrith minus 2 to get the value. So that blows that to, what, about 360 or something, just to get a bit of value. So my thing is, it's I'm so convinced of the under that if you can crack the head the line, then you're getting $3.60 for your money.
Okay.
I just can't see points being scored in that game.
No, you might be right.
All right. So that wraps up the normal part of the show, but stick around because after this, our grand final brackets. How do we think the entire finals are going to play?
Hi, I'm colourful labour identity Sam Dastiari, and I'm from a podcast called I'm Usually More Professional because the geniuses at Sportsbet said, you know who knows a lot about politics? A disgraced politician, an out-of-work alleged journalist called Joe Hildebrand, and a soon-to-be out-of-work person working for the Australian newspaper called Alice Workman. This is the best, most in-depth analysis that Australia could possibly bring by three failed losers.
On that budget.
On that budget. They're paying you?
Yeah, didn't you guys get that? Oh, this is awkward.
All right, we normally end the podcast here, but something a bit different we're doing, the bracket challenge. Can any one of the Sportsbet Get Them On Side people pick all nine games, pick all nine finals before the start of the finals? We don't really do brackets in Australia. We're trying to change that culture. I don't think they have whiteboards in Warragul, so Sean is going to do it a little differently. Well, they do have, of course, but, of course, he's not even allowed to go to Bunnings at the moment. So we go to Joel Kane. First cab off the rank. Can he pick the finals from start to finish?
Here we go, Dan. We start with the 2003 grand final rematch, if you like. It's the same scoreline. Penrith, 18 points to 6, defeat the Roosters.
Oh, that's a handy
The Canberra Raiders galloping, 30 points to 4 over the Sharks.
Yes.
Big upset here in the Knights taking on the Bunnies. The Knights, they beat the South Sydney side, 24. Bradman Best scores a try, 24 points to 10, in fact 12, because Adam Reynolds doesn't miss. Campbell Graham gets both their tries. Melbourne Storm take on the Parramatta Eels. Tight affair, 19 points to 12.
Okay.
So this means that Penrith goes straight through to the prelim.
Yes.
Roosters go to next week.
That's right.
The Raiders go to take on the Roosters.
That's right.
The Sharkies are gone.
They leave them there.
They're gone. The Bunnies are gone.
Yep.
They go to week two.
Newcastle.
Parramatta will play them. Storm will go up here. Okay, we start with the Roosters taking on the Canberra Raiders. And
this would be at the Roosters' home, so it'll be the SCG.
Yep.
Remember, these grounds are half full, so their atmosphere will be some factor.
20 points to nil.
Canberra.
Roosters win.
Wow.
Roosters win. They bounce back.
Wow. No.
Sorry to play the Melbourne
Roosters
Storm.
Roosters go to play the Melbourne Storm.
Newcastle take on Parramatta.
Yes.
Back in confidence. Mitchell Pearce, 13 points to 12 field goal. So the Knights will take on the Panthers in the prelim.
So the Knights are the Joel Kane surprise team of the final.
They are. They are, but they meet their well and truly benchmark here because they go down 24 points to 6 in the prelim. The Penny
against
Panthers
Penrith.
Are off the grand final.
Yes.
Melbourne Storm, finally they get some payback against the Roosters, 16 points to 6. And it's the Melbourne Storm taking on the Panthers.
Yes.
Where the Melbourne Storm, 16 points to 6, beat the Penrith Panthers, $3.75 grand final Quinella Dan.
Wow, okay, there we go. While I walk over, we need Sean's assessment of that.
That was very smooth, Joel Kane. Had my doubts about how that would go, but you handled that very well. Look, I've only got the one upset in week one for me is the Roosters, and it's not much of an upset. I think they'll go straight to a prelim final. And then from there, it's pretty much favourites all the way home, although I am tipping South to beat Para in week two.
Yeah.
But it all lands for me for a Storm v Roosters grand final. That'll be absolutely mouth-watering. You can get $4 for that.
I think Sean and I are going to come to the same point. So, okay, let's the Ghanaian version.
Mm.
So I think you and I, Joel, might get to the same point. I think I haven't done this in my head yet. But I think we might get to the same conclusion. So Roosters, we've talked about this. I think the Roosters will give it everything, but it'll be Penrith 14-12. So Penrith advance to prelim final one, and the Roosters play the next week. Canberra Sharks, we've spoken about this. I've got 38-10 in favour of the Raiders, and they will play the Roosters in a mouth-watering game at the SCG. South and Newcastle. Mm-hmm. I think South will win, but I'm like you, a little wary. I can't see Newcastle. I just can't see them getting over the top of South, even though I think their forward pack is formidable. And this, I also think Parramatta Melbourne will be a much tighter affair than people are giving it credit for. But I do think Melbourne 18-10. Mm. So we are pretty much, we're at a similar point. Now it's where it gets interesting. I think Canberra will beat the Roosters at the SCG.
Straight sets.
I told you, I think the Roosters might be cooked.
Mm.
And I just don't see Canberra being intimidated. The six again will be a talking point. They didn't thump the Roosters, but they upset the Roosters at the SCG a few weeks ago. Now, yes, in fairness, the Roosters did beat Canberra 18-6 that day, but it was much closer than that.
Yep.
So two very close games. I just think Canberra a little too good, but I also think a barnstorming game 16-10.
Ooh.
So that puts Canberra up against Melbourne in one of the prelim finals. South and Parramatta. South beat Parramatta 38-0. I think Parramatta are better than a straight sets exit, but I think South with a bit of momentum. This will be at ANZ Stadium,
yeah,
with 40,000, and this would get 40,000. I think South in a higher scoring game, 24-20.
Isn't that going to be good fun? Getting 40,000 to a game,
oh,
isn't it?
Well, you know my thoughts. It should be.
You want them all there, don't you?
I want every final in Sydney at ANZ. But we get to the prelim finals. Penrith versus South. I think this is where the South run comes to an end. I do think Penrith is the team of destiny this year. And I can see, how many preliminary finals do we see? It's close, 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 and in the last 20 minutes, it's a celebration for the team going to the grand final. I could see Penrith winning that 24-6 with a couple of late tries. So that gets Penrith into the grand final.
We've both got Penrith winning the prelim 24-6.
Do we?
Yeah, I'm beating the Knights, you're beating the Bunnies.
Melbourne, Canberra, this is the game I can't pick. And I'm gonna soft it in a second. Sorry for the language. I'm going to take Melbourne in this Quinella with Canberra. I think this will be at like an 8-6 type prelim final. Like, this is going to be an absolute defensive war.
Mm.
I just can't bet against Cam Smith in a game that matters. Well, until this point. So I'm like you, Joel. I've got the 375 Penrith v Melbourne grand final. I think it's Penrith's time.
Yeah, and we used different streak directories, didn't we?
So I would take Penrith in another low-scoring grand final, 14-12.
Wow.
But I need to know the odds for Penrith and Canberra to meet, because I love Canberra's path. So I'll be having a little saver. I'm with you on Penrith-Melbourne, but I want to know what Penrith-Canberra is, and if I can pick up my...
I'll go to the tapes while you
go to the tapes, because yeah. How much? $14. Well, that will do me very nicely. That is the grand. While I think Penrith Melbourne's the Quinella, Penrith Canberra's my value bet.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Well, clearly, my value bet is Melbourne and the Knights.
See? The Knights? You would get ridiculous odds for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You might as well just have, in all honesty, Knights just to make it.
Make the GF. Because $101, Melbourne and the Knights.
Okay, and what are the Knights to... You might as well bet... Because imagine if you got the Knights in, but Melbourne let you down. Well, you'd be... I mean, that's Flanagan stuff.
Oh, I could do that.
Who's got the better bracket, Sean or Moore, before we say goodbye?
Well, obviously I do. I'm gonna have to leave with Joel Kane, I believe, on that one. Mm. Out of your two.
Okay, all right. And you're also going Penrith Melbourne, have I got that right?
Who, me? No, I'm Storm Roosters.
Oh, Storm Roosters. Oh, okay. So you've obviously got, yeah, okay. So the Roosters winning this week, and then I think we all agree, Penrith Roosters. They have whoever loses is not going to recover.
So we're going to attempt
to Joel Kane. Yeah. Newcastle Knights stage of elimination lose grand final $34. You can back that right now if you want.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Righto. I could do that. I could definitely do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sean Ormerod. Thank you, Joel Kane.
Thanks, boys.
But please, as this man always tells you,
most importantly, gang, keep an eye out for the brackets for trying to make that happen, and gamble responsibly.